August 12, 1926. The divine will cannot reign if the three powers of the soul are not ordered with God.
The privations of my sweet Jesus are getting longer. Oh, how he makes me yearn for his return. How hours and days seem like centuries without him, but centuries of night, not of days. So while I was anxiously awaiting his return, like a rising flash, he came out from within my interior and clasping me to himself told me, my daughter, man was created by God with three powers, memory, intellect, and will. And this so he might have the links of communications with the divine persons of the sacrosanct Trinity. These were like paths along which to ascend to God, like doors through which to enter, like rooms in which to form the continuous dwelling. The creature for God, God for the creature. These are the royal paths, both of them, the gold doors which God placed in the depth of the soul, through which the supreme sovereignty, the divine majesty, might enter. The safe and unshakable room in which God was to have his celestial dwelling. Now, in order to be able to form its kingdom in the inmost place of the soul, my will wants to find these three powers given to the creature to raise her to the likeness of the Creator, in order with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. My will would not go out of its dominions of these three powers of the soul My will would not go out of its dominions if these three powers of the soul were in order with God, and its reigning would be happy and as though natural, because her three powers being in order with God, the creature would have order within herself and outside of herself, and the kingdom of the will of God and that of the creature would not be a divided kingdom, but a single one, and therefore its dominion and regime would be one. More so, since my will does not know how to reign where there is no order and harmony, inseparable qualities and indispensable properties of the divine persons. Excuse me. And the soul can never be ordered and harmonized with her Creator if she does not have her three powers open to receive from God his qualities ordered and his properties harmonized in such a way that finding the divine harmonies and the supreme order of the divine kingdom and of the human kingdom, my will may make them one and reign in it with its full dominion. Ah, my daughter, how much disorder reigns in the three powers of the human soul. One can say that they have shut the door on our faith. They have barricaded the path to prevent our passing and to break the communications with us, while it was the greatest gift we gave man in creating him. These three powers were to serve him, to comprehend the one who had created him, to grow in his likeness and his will being transfused in that of his Creator, to give him the right to let it reign. This is why the supreme volition cannot reign in the soul if these three powers, intellect, memory, and will, do not hold hands in order to return to the purpose for which God created man. Therefore, pray that these three powers may return to order and the harmony of their Creator, so that my supreme will may reign within it, may reign with its full strength.
August 14, 1926. Bitterness of the soul because of the news of the upcoming printing of the writings on the will of God, words of Jesus in this regard. My poor heart swims in the sea of the bitternesses of the privations of my sweet Jesus. If he comes at all, he is like a flash that escapes, and in that light of the flash, I see the poor world, its grave evils, the bonds among nations, which are binding themselves to one another in order to start wars and revolutions. And by doing this, they draw the chastisements of heaven, but so grave as to destroy entire cities and peoples. O God, how great is the human blindness! But as the flash of his lovable presence ends, I remain in the dark, more than before, with the thought of my poor brothers, scattered in the hard exile of life. But this was not enough to fill my poor heart with intense bitternesses. Something else added to suffocate my poor existence with those roaring waves that overwhelm my poor soul. That is the news of the upcoming printing of the writings on the most holy will of God. Since our Monsignor Archbishop had given his approval, placing the imprimatur himself. But this was nothing. The most fatal blow to my poor soul has been the news that they are going to put not only what regarded the divine will, because after so much insistence from our Lord and the superiors, I had convinced myself that the glory of God required this, and miserable and little as I am, it is not for me to oppose what blessed Jesus wants. But they were going to put out for printing also the order that Jesus has kept with me and everything he has told me, also about the other virtues and circumstances. This was too painful for me, and I spoke out my reasons over and over again so that it would not be done. Then, while I was so oppressed, my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior as though feeling the weight of my oppression, clasped me in his arms and, shaking me up, told me, "My daughter, what's the matter? What's the matter? Be cheered. I do not want you to be so oppressed. Instead of thanking me, you oppress yourself. You must know that, so that my supreme will might be known, I had to prepare things, dispose means, overwhelm the bishop with those acts of sublime dominion of my will, which man cannot resist. I had to make one of my great prodigies. Do you think it is easy to obtain the approval of a bishop? How hard it is, how many quibbles, how many difficulties, and if they approve it at all, it is with many restrictions, almost removing the most beautiful shades, the most striking colors from all that my goodness has revealed with so much love. Don't you see, then, the triumph of my will in the approval of the Archbishop, and therefore my great glory and the great necessity that the knowledges about my supreme will become known and, like beneficial dew, dampen the ardor of passions? Like rising sun, my will dispels the darkness of the human will and removes the torpor which almost all creatures have. Also in doing good, because the life of my will is missing. My manifestations about it will be like the balm which will heal the wounds produced by the human will. Those who will have the good of knowing them will feel a new light of life, life of light, of grace, of strength, flow within them to fulfill my will in everything. Not only this, but in comprehending the great evil of their own will, they will abhor it and will shake themselves from the yoke so very hard of the human will to place themselves under the gentle dominion of mine. Ah, you do not know nor see what I know and see therefore. And see, therefore, let me do it, and do not oppress yourself. Rather, you yourself should have urged and pushed the one whom I have disposed with so much love to take on this commitment. Even more, You should have told him to hurry, not to lose time. My daughter, the kingdom of my will is unshakable, and in these knowledges about it, I have placed so much light, grace, and attraction as to render it victorious in such a way that, as they become known, they will wage a sweet battle against the human will, and creatures will be conquered. These knowledges will be an immensely high and strong wall, more than the terrestrial Eden, which will prevent the enemy from entering in order to molest those who, conquered by it, will pass to live in the kingdom of my will. Therefore, do not become disturbed, and let me do, and I will dispose everything so that the supreme fiat may be known.
That Jesus gives us a lot of hope in that last paragraph. He says, these knowledges will be an immensely high and strong wall, more than the terrestrial Eden, but will prevent the enemy from entering in order to molest those who, conquered by it, will pass to live in the kingdom of my will. And he says he's going to be victorious. My daughter, the kingdom of my will, unshakable. And these knowledges about it have placed so much light, grace, and attraction as to render it victorious in such a way that as they become known, they will wage a sweet battle against the human will and creatures will be conquered. So we don't know when that is. We know that we're in the middle of having that happen by just being here every morning and by learning as much as we can so we can pass it on to other people. And so that's really a positive thing. We like usual, we're saying, well, when? How long will this be? But that's not for us to know. For us to know is to just learn as much as we can. He says, these knowledges will be an immensely high and strong wall. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon. August 18th, 1926. Jesus encourages the one who must undertake the printing of the writings on the most holy will of God. Power of the acts done in the divine will. While I was praying, I found myself outside of myself, and at the same time, I saw the Reverend Father who must occupy himself with the printing of the writings on the most holy will of God. Our Lord was near him, taking all the knowledges, the effects, and the values he has manifested about the supreme will, which had changed into threads of light, and impressing them in his intelligence in such a way as to form a crown of light around his head. And while doing this, he said to him, "My son, the task I have given you is great, and therefore it is necessary that I give you much light in order to make you comprehend with clarity what I have revealed. In fact, they will produce their effects according to the clarity with which they will be exposed, even though they are most clear in themselves. Indeed, that which regards my will is light that descends from heaven, which does not confuse and dazzle the sight of the intelligence, but has the virtue of strengthening and enlightening the human intellect so as to be comprehended and loved, and of casting into the depth of the soul the source of her origin, the true purpose for which man was created, the order between creator and creature. And each one of my sayings, manifestations, knowledges about my supreme will are as many strokes of the brush to make the soul return to the likeness of her creator. Everything I have said about my will is nothing other than preparing the way, forming the army, gathering the chosen people, preparing the royal palace, disposing the ground on which the kingdom of my will must be formed, and so rule and dominate. Therefore, the task I am entrusting to you is great. I will guide you. I will be near you so that everything may be done according to my will. Then after this, he blessed him and came to my little soul, resuming his speaking. My daughter, how much I care about my will, how I love, how I yearn that it become known. My interest is so great that I am disposed to give any grace to whomever wants to occupy himself with making it known. Oh, how I wish that they would hurry, because I see that all my rights will be given back to me. The order between God and the creature will be reestablished. I will no longer give my gifts to the human generations as halved, but as whole. Nor will I ever again receive from them things that are incomplete, but whole. Ah, my daughter, being able to give and wanting to give, but finding no one to whom to give is always a pain and a weight with no hope of relief. If you knew with how much jealousy of love I stay around the soul when I see her disposed to do her acts in my will. Before she begins her act, I make the light and the virtue of my will flow in it, so that her act may take its origin on the virtue that my will contains. As she keeps forming it, the divine light and the virtue invest it and carry it out. As she completes it, the light is sealed over it and gives it the form of a divine act. And oh, how my supreme goodness delights in seeing that the creature possesses this divine act. To these acts, my eternal love never says enough. It gives and gives always, because with these divine acts formed by the creature in my will, my love cannot limit itself, since they are divine. It must repay them with infinite love and without limits. Don't you yourself see and feel with how much love I guide you, I accompany you, and many times I reach the point of doing what you do together with you? And this, in order to give to your acts the value of a divine value. How happy I am in seeing that by virtue of my will, your acts are divine, similar to mine. There is no more distance between your little love and mine, between your adoration and mine, between your prayers and mine. Invested by the light of the eternal volition, they lose their finiteness, their human appearances, and acquire the infinite and the divine substance, and transforming altogether the working of God and of the soul, my will makes them one. Therefore, be attentive, and let your flight in my will be continuous. After this, my always lovable Jesus came back and made himself seen, all worried, suffering, and as though restless because of the great offenses of creatures. I wanted to calm him, give him rest, but I could not manage to. Then the thought came to me of doing my usual acts in the supreme fiat. And as I was doing this, Jesus would calm down and take rest. Then he told me, "My daughter, the acts in my will are more than solar rays, which are such that if one wants to look at them, one's sight is eclipsed by the light in such a way that one can neither look nor distinguish anything anymore. If the light of the sun has so much power, much more do the acts done in my will. the light of my will has the power to eclipse and take evil away from creatures, that they may not do worse things. And with the power of its light, it prevents the offenses from reaching me. And just as the light of the sun, because it contains the simile of the eternal sun of the supreme fiat, contains all colors, and from them derive innumerable effects, which unleash countless goods for the human generations. While one seems to see nothing but radiant and white light, the same for the eternal sun of my will. While it is the light of my will alone, inside of it, there are as though many colors, all the divine similes enclosed, which contain infinite effects and unleash fountains of love, of goodness, of mercy, of power, of science, in sum, all the divine qualities. Therefore, the working of my will contains such power and harmony as to favor the rest of your beloved Jesus.
There's so much positive teaching in this reading. I just want to reread one of them. We're in the middle of the second page. Oh, how my supreme goodness delights in seeing that the creature possesses this divine act. To these acts, my eternal love never says enough. It gives and gives always, because with these divine acts formed by the creature in my will, my love cannot limit itself. Since they are divine, and it must repay them with infinite love and without limits. Amen.
Thank you. August 22nd, 1926. The acts done in the divine will assume the image of the divine qualities, what privations of God means, and how the Supreme Queen suffered this privation, what it means to be the head of a mission. I feel as though immersed in the eternal will of my adorable Jesus, and as much as I can, I do my round throughout the whole creation to keep company with all the acts that the divine will operates in it. But while I was doing this, my highest and only good made himself seen in my interior, looking at all of me, counting all my acts one by one, and placing them around himself to enjoy them. Then he told me, "My daughter, I am making the count of all your acts to see whether they reach the number established by me. And since my will encloses all the divine qualities, each of your acts done in it assumes the image of a supreme quality. Look at them, how beautiful they are. Some possess the image of my wisdom, some the image of goodness, some of love, some of strength, some of beauty, some of mercy, some of immutability, some of order. In sum, all of my supreme qualities. Each act of yours assumes a distinct image, but they resemble one another. They harmonize. They hold hands and form one single act. How beautiful is the working of the creature in my will. She does nothing but produce divine images, and I delight in surrounding myself with these images of mine to enjoy. In the creature, the fruits of my qualities, and I give her the virtue of reproducing more of my divine images so as to be able to see the Supreme Being copied and impressed in them. This is why I have so much interest that the creature do my will, live in it, to repeat my works. After this, I was thinking to myself, how hard is the privation of my sweet Jesus? One feels the true death of the soul and it happens as when the soul departs from the body. While it possesses the same members, they are emptied of life. They are inert, without motion, and have no more value. So does my little soul appear to me without Jesus. It possesses the same faculties, but emptied of life once Jesus has departed. Life, motion, warmth are ended. This is why this pain is harrowing and indescribable and cannot be compared to any other pain. Ah, the celestial mama did not suffer this pain because her sanctity rendered her inseparable from Jesus, and therefore she never remained without him. But while I was thinking of this, my beloved Jesus moved in my interior, telling me, "My daughter, you are wrong. The privation of me is not separation, but pain. You are right in saying that it is more than mortal, but this pain has the virtue not of separating, but of joining with stronger and more stable bonds the inseparable union with me. Not only this, but each time the soul remains as though without me, with no guilt on her part, I rise again for her to new life of knowledges, allowing myself to be comprehended more with more love, loving her more, and with new grace to enrich her and embellish her more. And she rises again to new divine life, to new love, and to new beauty, because it is justice that since the soul suffers mortal pains, she be substituted with new divine life. If it were not so, I would let myself be surpassed by the love of the creature, which cannot be. And besides, it is not true that the sovereign queen was never without me, separated. Never, but without me, yes. But this did not prejudice the height of her sanctity. On the contrary, it increased it. How many times I left her in the state of pure faith, because having to be the queen of sorrows and the mother of all the living, she could not lack the most beautiful adornment, the most refulgent gem, which gave her the characteristic of queen of martyrs and sovereign mother of all sorrows. This pain of being left in pure faith prepared her to receive the deposit of my doctrines, the treasure of the sacraments, and all the goods of my redemption. In fact, since the privation of me is the greatest pain, it places the soul in the condition of deserving to be the depository of the greatest gifts of her Creator, of his highest knowledges, and of his secrets. How many times have I not done this for you? After a privation of me, I would manifest to you the highest knowledges about my will. And with this, I would make you the depository, not only of its knowledges, but of my will itself. Moreover, the sovereign queen as mother had to possess all of the interior states. Therefore, also the state of pure faith, to be able to give to her children that unshakable faith that makes one lay down one's blood and life to defend and prove one's faith. Had she not possessed this gift of faith, how could she give it to her children? Having said this, he disappeared, but my mind wanted to think about many strange things, and maybe even senseless, and I would try hard to do my acts in the adorable will of God. But while doing this, I thought to myself, if living in the supreme kingdom of the divine will requires so much attention, so many sacrifices, very few will be those who will want to live in a kingdom so holy. And my sweet Jesus, coming back, told me, "My daughter, one who is called to be the head of a mission must not only embrace all the members, but rule them dominate them and constitute himself life of each of them. While the members do not give life to the head, nor to all that he does, but rather each one does its own office. So one who is called to be the head of a mission, embracing all that is needed in order to be able to carry out the task entrusted to him, suffering more than anyone and loving everyone, prepares the food, the life, the lessons, the offices, according to the capacity of those who want to follow his mission. That which is necessary for you, who must form the tree with all the fullness of its branches and the multiplicity of its fruits, will not be necessary for one who must only be branch or fruit. Their task will be to remain incorporated in the tree in order to receive the vital humors it contains. That is, to let themselves be dominated by my will, never giving life to their volition in anything, either internal or external, to know my will and to receive it as their own life, so as to let it carry out its divine life. In sum, to let it reign and dominate as queen. So, my daughter, one who must be the head needs to suffer, to work, and to do himself alone everything that all others together will do. This is what I did, because I was head of redemption. I can say that I did everything for love of all, to give them life and to place them all in safety. The Immaculate Virgin also, because she was mother and queen of all. How much did she not suffer? How much did she not love and work for all creatures? No one can claim having reached us, either in suffering or in loving. At the most, they may resemble us in part, but reaching us, no one. However, having been at the head of all, both the Sovereign Queen and I enclosed all graces and all goods. Strength was in our power. Dominion was ours. Heaven and earth obeyed our every wish and trembled before our power and sanctity. The redeemed ones have taken our crumbs and have eaten our fruits. They have been healed with our remedies. They have been strengthened with our examples. They have learned our lessons. They have risen again at the cost of our lives. And if they had been glorified, it has been virtue of our glory. But the power is always ours. The living fount of all goods springs always from us. So much so that if the redeemed ones move away from us, they lose all goods and return to be ill and poor more than ever. This is what it means to be head. It is true that one suffers greatly, works much, and must prepare the good for all. But all that one possesses surpasses everything and everyone. There is such a distance between one who is head of a mission and one who must be a member, and that the head can be compared to the sun and the member to a little light. This is why I have told you many times that your mission is great, because this is not about mere personal sanctity, but about embracing everything and everyone and preparing the kingdom of my will for the human generations. After this, I was following the acts in the Supreme Volition, which converted all into light and formed a horizon of radiant light that formed clouds of quicksilver. And wherever this light penetrated, everything converted into light. It had the power, the strength to empty everything, filling everything with its most refulgent light. And Jesus added, "My daughter, there is nothing more penetrating than light. It diffuses everywhere, excuse me, with enchanting rapidity, bringing its beneficial effects to all those who let themselves be invested by it. The light refuses to do its good to no one, be they people, earth, water, plant, or other things. Its nature is to illuminate and to do good, and therefore it leaves no one behind. To all it brings its kiss of light and gives the good it contains. My will is more than light. It diffuses everywhere and brings the good it contains, and the acts done in it form the atmosphere of gold and silver, which has the virtue of emptying all the darkness of the night of the human will. And with its beneficial light, it brings the kiss of the eternal volition to dispose the creatures to wanting to come into the kingdom of the supreme fiat. Each act of yours done in it is a new horizon that you make arise for the eye of the human intellect, to make it long for the light of the good that my will possesses. My daughter, in order to prepare this kingdom, it takes work. It takes celestial laws, which are laws all of love. The laws of fears, of penalties, of condemnation do not enter into it, because the laws of my love, of my will be friendly, filial, a reciprocal love between creator and creature. Therefore, fears and condemnations will have neither force nor life. And if there will be some suffering, it will be full of triumph and of glory. Therefore, be attentive, because this is about making known a celestial kingdom, about manifesting its secrets, its prerogatives, its goods, to draw souls to love it, long for it, and to take possession of it.
I have a part of a reading from the very beginning. I found something I'd like to read again. It's on the second page. It's the last paragraph. In fact, since the privation of me is the greatest pain, it places the soul in the condition of deserving to be the depository of the greatest gifts of her Creator, of his highest knowledges, and of his secrets. How many times have I not done this for you? After a privation of me, I would manifest to you the highest knowledges about my will. And with this, I would make you the depository, not only of its knowledges, but of my will itself. Moreover, the sovereign queen, as mother, had to possess all of the interior states, therefore also the state of pure faith to be able to give to her children. And this is the important part. The unshakable faith that makes one lay down one's blood and life to defend and to prove one's faith. Had she not possessed this gift of faith, how could she give it to her children? I thought it's interesting that Jesus is talking about laying down our life, and as the world's gone, we don't know what's going to happen. It's nice to hear him say that, to include that into the whole picture, to defend and prove one's faith. She not possessed this gift of faith. How could she give it to her children? So it reminds us that we have to be ready. We don't know what's going to happen, what's coming up in this crazy world. But to have this background for us, we can accept whatever happens. If it means giving up our life for our faith, that's great. We can do that. That makes one lay down one's own blood and life to defend and to prove one's faith. That would be a good thing for us. We don't, in our human nature, we say no, but that would be a good thing for us. And it's interesting that Jesus brings that up. Amen.
August 25th, 1926. The divine will makes the whole life of our Lord one single act in his interior. I was remembering all the acts of our Lord so as to unite myself with him. And not only this, but to find his most holy will, operating in all his acts, to be able to identify with it and make one single act with mine. So I would have wanted to be conceived with Jesus, be born with Jesus, moan, cry, suffer, pray, shed my blood together with his, and die together with Jesus. Now, while I was thinking of this, he moved in my interior, making his presence felt in my heart, and raising his arm in the act of clasping me to himself, told me, "My daughter, my whole life was one single act coming from that single act of the Eternal One, which has no succession of acts. And if in my humanity, externally, one could see the gradual succession of my acts, that is, being conceived, being born, growing, operating, walking, suffering, dying, in the interior of my humanity, my divinity, the Eternal Word united to my soul, formed one single act of my whole life. Therefore, the succession of the external acts that could be seen in it was the outpouring of this single act which, overflowing outside, formed the succession of my external life. But in my interior, as I was conceived, at the same time I was also born. I cried, I moaned, I walked, I operated, I spoke, I preached the gospel, I instituted the sacrament, I suffered and was crucified. Therefore, all that could be seen on the outside of my humanity, little by little, step by step, inside of it was one single act, long and continuous, and which still continues. So as I was conceived, coming from the single act of the Eternal One, I remained always as being conceived, always as being born, always moaning and crying. In sum, everything I did remained in act, and as continuous act, because everything that comes from God and remains in God undergoes no mutations, nor increase, nor diminution. Once the act is done, it remains with the fullness of life that never ends, and can give life to all, as much as they want of it. So my will maintained and does maintain everything in act, my whole life, just as it maintains the life, the sum of in act, without allowing it to decrease or increase in its light, in its heat, and in its effects, just as it preserves the expanse of the heavens with all the stars, without ever shrinking or dispersing even one star, and so with many other things created by me. In the same way, my supreme will maintains the life, all the acts of my humanity, without dispersing even one breath. Now, wherever it reigns, this will of mine does not know how to do separated acts. Its nature is one single act, multiple in its effects, but always one in its act. Therefore, it calls the soul who lets herself be dominated by it to union with its single act, that she may find all the goods, all the effects that only the single act of a God can possess. Therefore, may your attention be to remain united to that single act of the Eternal One, if you want to find the whole creation and the whole redemption in act. And in that single act, you will find the length of my pains, of my steps, my continuous crucifixion. You will find everything. My will disperses nothing, and in it you will be identified with my acts, and will take the fruit of my whole life. If it were not so, there would not be a great difference between my operating and that of my saints. On the other hand, since my operating is one single act, between mine and theirs, there is the difference that passes between the sun and a tiny little flame, between the great sea and a drop of water, between the vastness of the heavens and a little hole. Only the power of my one act has the power to give itself to all and to embrace everything. And while it gives itself, it never loses anything.
Okay, we'll stop there. Does anybody have any thing they want to say about what we read or anything that touched them? Father Celso always says this, this is not about becoming holy. And Jesus, it's about saving the world, or however the words it says. But Jesus says that in one of the readings. He says, because this is not about mere personal sanctity, but embracing everything and everyone and preparing the kingdom of my will for the human generations. So it kind of forces us to go outside of ourselves and not be, you know, constantly looking at what we're doing, which I think is a good thing, because we get stuck there and what we're doing. Are we holy? Are we doing the right thing? And all that. And, you know, just looking at ourselves continuously takes us out of that. And Jesus is saying, I have something for you to do for everyone. So that really spoke to me.
We don't have to. We will automatically become holy on our own without worrying about it. If we just follow what Jesus is asking us to do, and that is to help other people be holy, that's what it boils down to. It's not. We won't be. We're not here to make ourselves holy. We are here to help other people, and in doing that, we'll automatically make ourselves holy. Amen.
I once received a holy card from someone many, many, many years ago and said, the true Christian accepts everyone just as he is. And that really does come to my mind right now. For what it's worth, it's something to think about maybe. Thank you.
Yeah, the teaching of the divine will is telling us to do that. You know, accept every, and they don't even have to be holy, but just accepting everybody. Because Jesus is accepting everybody, and we are one with Jesus. So we love everyone just like Jesus loves everyone. So that takes care of that holy card very nicely. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your teaching today, and for bringing us closer to you, and for giving us the grace to be here this morning. Bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Benedicat vos omnipotente, es pater et filii et spiritus sanctus. Amen. Fiat.
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 Come,
fiat.
Divine come divine will.
Fiat. Come divine will. God bless you all, and thank
fiat.
You.
Come divine will.
Fiat.
Divine. Thank you for today.
God bless each of you.
Thank you, Deacon.
God bless you all.
God bless everyone.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everyone, for the beautiful reading. Thank you. God bless you.